1, 2, 3 to bully free. Well, at least bully ready. Today, we're talking about how one rule of three can not only prepare your child for dealing with bullies, but will help them develop the right kind of relationships the rest of their lives. Make sure you stick around to the end where I show you how you can also 1, 2, 3 your way into an easy dinner tonight.
Welcome to the Cook Who Can't Eat podcast, where we're making food, family, and life a little easier, one bite at a time.
Hello, friend. I am so glad that you're here. I know that you've heard about bullying, and we all have. And we can all agree that it's bad and something that needs to be addressed. What we can't seem to agree on is what the definition is. If we can't agree on a definition, how do we start to prevent it? I learned this rule of three years ago, and it's one of those non-negotiable with my kids. They don't always like it, but let me tell you, they still experience bully, but it hurt them, but it didn't crush or destroy them. I don't know about you, but I would not want to be a teenager these days. Not only is everything you do caught on camera, you no longer can escape anything. Once upon a time, the school bell would ring and we should go home, have that deep breath and get away from the bullying, at least for a little while. These teens are being bombarded with all of this 24/7. And even if they check out, stop watching it, the fact that they understand and know just the avalanche of stuff happening is almost worse than just going ahead and reading it. We've all seen the movies, watched the TV shows, read the books where someone's telling a teen that's being bullied to just hang on. Life gets better after graduation. That's not really the case anymore, is it? We see it every day. Within minutes, a message or video can be everywhere and consumed in record amounts. We all love the sweet and fun things that go viral, like Elise Myers and her taco date story. Those are the things that end up on the Today Show or Good Morning America or in all these articles because they're the one-offs. What you see most often go viral are those negative or hurtful and honestly bad situations. By the way, that kind of sucks.
Doesn't matter your gender, race, creed, or color, bullying is pretty much open game on just about everyone. Just the other day, Instagram announced that they're testing out a program where you could pay for live customer support as well as verification, so a little check mark, and for better reach. Elise Myers commented with just a simple question. She said, "Wait, so now we need to pay to be verified? I'm so confused." Now, this is a simple question. It was asked by quite a few people in the thread, if you look through it, and it was something that wasn't answered in the video. There was no malice. She was not making any demand. She was simply asking a question. Shortly after her question, she got a response of OMG, among the privileged few. Not a horrible comment, but still unnecessary and mean-spirited. So if bullying's happening to every age online, how do we protect our teens during this very vulnerable time in their life? Much as we all want to believe that we are filtering, making sure they're using the right apps, not doing things dangerously, these kids know way more than we do, and they're probably out there a lot more than you realize. So what can we do? It's the rule of three. I'm telling you, it will change so much for you and your teen. Now, before I get into all of those details, I did want to touch on one thing that isn't always bullying, but is almost always labeled as. When friendships end or relationships end and people are leaving your life, sometimes that is so hard and it is occasionally the worst heartbreak you'll experience. It's a saying for a reason. People are in your life for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. It makes sense, but what most people don't realize is that you don't learn which one that person is in your life until the end. My senior year of high school, I have what I thought was a very close, tight-knit group of friends. For whatever reason, we thought it was fun to wake up even earlier, go to Perkins for breakfast, and then go to school. If you're not familiar with Perkins, think Denny's. One morning, I pull into the parking lot, and before I get out of my car, I notice my friend's car. Now, she's the person I thought was my best friend. I noticed that pretty much everyone that we were supposed to have breakfast with was in her car. Now, I was really confused because we had talked the night before. I know we had confirmed everything, but that's when I noticed they weren't just all crammed in her car. They were actually trying to hide. So as a teen with zero self-confidence and a crippling fear of being embarrassed, I didn't want to go knock on the car window, and I didn't want to go into the restaurant and just sit there by myself knowing they were all in the parking lot. I stalled for a little bit pretending to get my things together, and then when I saw they still were hiding, I pretended to fall asleep. I laid there stock still until they pulled out of the parking lot. I gave them a few minutes head start, took some deep breaths, and headed to school. So I get to school and I don't say anything because I kind of want to hear what they're going to do. And I very quickly realized by the questions and comments they're making that they were not just trying to ditch me. They were actually trying to humiliate and hurt me. So what did I do? I lied my ass off that I was so tired that I pulled in and fell asleep and I had no idea if they were there or not. They knew I was lying. I knew that they knew I was lying, but I didn't care. They succeeded. I was 100% hurt, humiliated, and my friend group gone. I would have given anything to have this rule of three in place, because whether you want to call that bullying or just a painful way of people saying, hey, we're out of your life, this would have helped. Here's the rule, and then I'll explain how and why it works. Starting in sixth grade, ideally, or ninth grade at the absolute latest, the kids have to do three things. One, they need to be involved in some type of in-school group, club, or activity. It could be band, choir, gaming club, student council, whatever. I didn't care what it was, but just one group inside of school. Second, they had to be involved in some kind of group, sport, activity, whatever, that was outside of school and had no more than 50% of its participants from school. Think community sports, Boy Scouts, a laser tag team, things like that. The third part is that they are required to be involved in some type of sport or physical activity that requires their participation a minimum of twice a week. Now, the only exception to this is if their in-school or out-of-school activity happens to be a sport and something physical. For instance, when my daughter was younger, she was in dance and it was her outside of school. So she killed two birds with one stone. So why do you need all three parts? Part one, which is the club or group inside of school. Your friend group is great, but by joining a group or a club, you're actually brought together by a shared interest or hobby, which is a very powerful thing. Those groups and clubs are also typically monitored and supported by a faculty member. That gives your child a chance to interact, create a relationship with a safe adult at school that could help them when needed. Part two, that outside of school club, sport, or activity, well, this helps your child learn how to broaden their horizons, see friendships in other places other than what's right in front of them. They also start learning that different environments create different opinions. And when all those come together with that shared interest, pretty cool what they'll start to learn. And number three, we all know that moving our body is the best way to raise our mood, but it teaches them that exercise and healthy living can be part of their everyday busy life. So why does this rule work so well? It works because it's teaching your kids to find connections and friendships outside of just what's in front of them. And that creates such a different worldview along with self-confidence. By starting this at a young age, it actually becomes a subconscious need. When my daughter started college, she immediately missed having those various interactions and friendships. So she actually sought that out at college. But here's the biggest reason. Being a teenager is hard. And teenagers can be really mean. And teen girls, I'm sorry, but they can be downright evil sometimes. At some point, your kid is going to show up at school and everyone's going to hate them or be mad at them, and they're going to have absolutely no idea why. Or maybe they show up and all of a sudden they're getting bullied nonstop and they don't understand why. And that's where this rule is, this re-layered kind of safety net. It's somewhere for them safe to land, because that in-school group, that even if they all want to hate each other, fine, but they're still brought together by a mutual interest or activity, which will drive interaction. The next layer is that they have that club or group outside of school that are totally different people. And when school's going rough, that group, watch, they close ranks and they support each other. And the third layer, which is physical activity, it gets them moving, gets their serotonin level up, and it helps them clear their mind of what's happening. And I will tell you, there have been times my kids have hated me for enforcing this rule, but every one of them has also thanked me, because now they know what to do and how to surround themselves with the right types of people and different types of people that can enrich their lives. Ideally, we would never have to think this way, but bullying's been around forever. And I'm sorry, but I don't see it going away anytime soon. So while we can't protect our kids from it and we can't step in front of it and take it for them, we can teach our kids it's okay if someone doesn't like them, that they can have friendships with people that maybe they never would have otherwise. You're teaching your kids how to broaden their horizons, how to have better, different, and diverse relationships that help them be healthier, happier, and to not feel alone in this world. This rule of three will help your teen get through high school, but it'll also help them find friendships and connection for the rest of their life. And isn't that kind of the goal? I would love for us to talk about this more, about the rule of three, about bullying. So if you are comfortable sharing your story, whether it be anonymously or you want to do it in person, send me a message. Tell me your story and let's talk about it. I think hearing other people's stories and learning things like this rule of three is how we can truly bully prep our kids. Thank you so much for being here. I'm glad we were able to talk about this. And if you do the rule of three, let me know. I'd love to share your story, answer any questions, or hear how it's going.
Our 1-2-3 rule worked perfectly with our kids. So now I'm going to show you my 1-2-3 rule for this Italian chicken. Put your chicken breasts in a 9x13 pan and top it with those three ingredients. First, your zesty Italian dressing, then sun-dried tomatoes, and top with feta cheese crumbles. Bake that at 350 degrees for 30 minutes, and you have a perfect quick and easy meal that your family will love. When you cook it, be sure to tag me at The Cook Who Can't Eat. And if you want the recipe card, you can either visit our website or our Instagram at The Cook Who Can't Eat. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss our next episode, where we're going to talk about how PTSD and curiosity can sometimes be related.